It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we start off this week with a quick assessment of trees with leaves. And that is getting to be an ever smaller number. And just looking out the window, the river birch here is down to its last, oh, maybe 100, 150 leaves. Count them, would you, Heidi? And the weeping willows are about the only other tree right now that has a significant number of leaves on them, but they are rapidly losing their leaves as well. And so the leaf segment, the deciduous trees, even those that are, as I like to say, not from here, are dropping their leaves, and we are moving into more of a winter picture. So keep an eye out. If you do see something with leaves on it, chances are it's buckthorn. And stay tuned. We're going to talk buckthorn later on this morning on the morning show. So we will give you more information on buckthorn than you probably ever wanted to hear. I saw one of the last, I suspect, yellow-legged meadowhawks, autumn meadowhawks, on the 9th of November, but I had a note from Ed Dallas who said that he saw one on Sunday, which was the 13th of November. That was pretty interesting. Those, probably the latest ever. I think before this, my latest ever meadowhawk, well, let's just draw back here and take a look. But I think the latest sighting for meadowhawks before this was around the 5th of November. And let's see, 11-9-2016, 11-1-2008, 10-29 in 2000. So there are some evidences of these sorts of critters in the late fall into November, but this is certainly the latest ever that I have had for the autumn meadowhawk. A little red dragonfly, and you may see one in the next day or two, but I would think that after the snow that is forecast to come up in the next little while, we will probably not be seeing many more autumn meadowhawks this fall. Pardon me. I was walking yesterday under the Norway pines, and it's always kind of fun this time of year because the needles have dropped now. The 3-year-old, 4-year-old needles have fallen off of the Norway pines, and they catch on everything in the understory. So every bush, every birch tree, every hazel brush, everything that's under there is wearing almost as though it were decorated for Christmas. It's got these clothespin style two-legged needles hanging all over them, and it was kind of interesting to walk around and see all of that yesterday. And as I was walking around, I noticed that the downy rattlesnake plantain is well into the seed stage. There were, I had quite a bunch of them, and the leaves are now covered with needles, so you can't really see the leaves of the plant, which are the spectacular part, and they are evergreen, so they'll remain pretty much green all through the winter, but you need to kick away the needles a little bit to get a look at the leaves. The flower, on the other hand, is this tall stalk, probably, 30 centimeters, maybe a foot high, and it's kind of bronze or copper colored, and it's the top has got about 30 little pods that are, roughly the size of a stick match head. And each of those pods is filled with thousands of tiny, tiny hair-like seeds. And I broke one open yesterday and I looked at it and imagine like something as fine as fiberglass, but all cut to the same length. And the length would be, roughly a millimeter. And the diameter the diameter of these threads would be like maybe at less than a tenth of a millimeter. They're just infinitesimally small and almost invisible, but touching the plant sent a cloud of them floating off into the air. And so they're really amazing, these little seeds, but I mean, each plant must have 100,000 of them. They're just amazing to see how reproductively active the rattlesnake plantain has been. Also, while walking around yesterday, one of the thoughts that came to me yesterday was, you know, a lot of you have been deer hunting, and occasionally, or some of you have probably shot at a deer or shot a deer and wounded it or had to trail its blood trail through the woods. So I'm looking down at the ground and I'm thinking about what it would be like to be looking for blood spots on this terrain. And so I was taking in all the things that were sort of, you know, there to be observed. And one of those things that was pretty interesting is a plant called meadow horsetail. And in the summertime, it's sort of a green stalk with these little thread-like leaves coming out from the sides. And this time of year, most of them have toppled over and turned white. And so they look like, if you're in the right soils, if you're in the right areas, these things look like little fish skeletons laying all over the place. They're just these little white, like thin white leaves that look like little fish bones that are sticking up all over the place. And that's meadow horsetail. So look for that. The running club moss, the ground cedar, the, Polytrichum moss, haircap moss. If you're looking at haircap moss, you're from above, it's as if you were flying over a big forest of tiny, tiny trees. And these haircap moss, they look like little tiny trees. They're about, an inch or two tall and bright green and very spiky looking. Their radially arranged leaves are out all the way around. But these guys are really close to being vascular plants. They're not. They are moss, so that they don't have stoma on their leaves. The stoma are those little valves that open and allow oxygen to come into the leaf. And so these little haircap mosses are really quite beautiful and very prevalent, especially if you're walking in swamps or if you're walking in that area which scientists would call a lag, which is the area between high ground and swamp. And so very common to find polytrichum mosses in there, the haircap mosses. So check out those. The running club moss is another moss you're likely to come across. The running club moss has these, they're called sporophytes. They're called sporophytes, and they're these stalks, and the running club moss will have 2, 3, sometimes 4 of these sporophytes at the top of a tall stem. And there's another one called bristly club moss, which has an individual stalk sporophyte at the top of one of its leafed branches. So there's the difference between the running club moss and the bristly club moss is the way the sporophyte arranges. But both of those plants, the sporophytes are spent. There's no spores available. They're done. But if you're looking at the little, what we always called princess pine, round branched ground pine, I guess is the name they give it. But it looks like a little fir tree. It's maybe 5-6 inches tall, and it will have also right now sporophytes on the top of the plant. And the princess pine has also a single sporophyte at the top of the plant. And if you reach down, those are kind of bright yellow right now. And if you reach down and snap it with your finger, you'll see that a lot of little spores will come flying out of there. So watch that. That's the one that's right now active in terms of spreading its spores. Closer to home, my crabapple trees are down to their last few crabapples. The grouse and the gray jays are the only birds that remain that are kind of coming in and picking off the last ones. And even they are having trouble with the few that remain because these guys are so far out on the ends of these branches. I call them the dancing ends because if a bird gets out there, it's going to have to do some flapping and dancing to stay on that branch. But there are a few apples remaining, and I would imagine imagine that one way or another, those birds will manage to rip those off of there and eat them. Blueberries are quite red. I have a patch of blueberries that are quite red, the domestic varietal blueberries, and even the blueberries in the forest are still pretty red. They're still on their way to losing their needles. The needles are off of the tamaracks now, except for those new growth way out at the ends where the new growth exists. There are all these little spiky needles that are not in fascicles. So normally on the older growth, there will be a fascicle that forms on a tamarack, and you'll have like 15 to 20 to maybe 30 needles coming out of these little fascicles. But on the new growth, you get individual needles coming off by themselves, and those needles remain. So if you have tamaracks, go out and look at those and check those out, see what's going on out there at the ends of the branches. Now, Harry last week was talking about some white pine in his 80 and the magnificent specimens that he had that were 30 plus inches in diameter. And I have one pretty nice tamarack that I wanted to get a measure on. So I took a tape out and I measured it and then did a little math. And my tamarack is 29 inches in diameter, which is pretty darn big for a tamarack. This one is on high ground, which is why I think it's been able to grow quite so large. And I guess then it's just a few flowers, tansy, dandelions, harebells, hoary alyssums, white campion, yarrow. Those all are in flower yet and probably will remain in flower until the snow covers them up. And there's always those little pansies that will be flowering now and flowering under the snow and flowering in the spring when the snow melts. Something about those flowers that just doesn't give up. And maybe that's an attitude we should all take. Let's not give up. Keep watching and keep telling us what it is that's happening in your neighborhood. That's our Phenology Show for this week. We'll talk again next week.